Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle reading, Philippians chapter 3, verses 4b to 14. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we meditate on your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may find our lasting joy in Christ Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There's a lot in today's reading from Philippians, and in this sermon, I will want to focus on four of the images that St. Paul uses as he proclaims the gospel to us. The first image is from the world of money, from gain and loss. The second image is from the world of cleaning up, and in fact, I'll be looking at a modern example of a Japanese writer called Marie Kondo. We'll get to that. The third image is from the law courts and being declared innocent in a law court setting. And the fourth image is from the world of athletics, being called to step forward and be given the laurel of victory, what these days would call the gold medal. We will today be dealing with scriptural imagery given to us by God. We can use our imaginations to meditate on this imagery and to come to a deeper insight of what our life with God is like. We'll experience, in fact, the power of the resurrection as we meditate on this imagery. And I will be proclaiming from the scriptures good news to you. You know, in our vocations, maybe in marriage or in family life, or in life in this congregation, or the wider church, or in the workplace, we can sometimes feel very discouraged. From a human point of view, it can seem that things are going nowhere. But God's word reveals to us that even when, from a human point of view, things seem like they're going nowhere, God is at work. God was at work in Paul's life, when he was in the dead end of prison, of captivity. God is at work also among us. Okay, let's listen to how today's reading begins. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more, says St. Paul. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. I've come to regard as loss, St. Paul says, because of Christ. Because he has been declared innocent by God the Father for Christ's sake in that divine courtroom. But we'll get to this. Let's think of, first of all, what St. Paul is saying. He has been focusing here on things that, from a human point of view, in the community that he's part of, might seem impressive. His bona fides as a Jewish believer. Now, we know from reading more widely in Scripture that St. Paul valued these things and thought they were in fact good, that the Jewish people had a lot to be rightly proud of for their heritage with God. They had things like the Torah, the law of God. They had things like the worship, the covenants, the prophets. But compared to Christ, St. Paul is saying, all these things he regards as loss. It's like he's sitting down with his accountant, looking at what will give him true returns for his investment. Get into that mode of thinking, because most of us here have some idea what it's like. We like to get a good return on our money. We like to invest wisely, and we don't like to put our time and effort into things that will bring no return. So Paul is saying that if we center our lives on things like our ethnicity, our family connections, and even our religious commitment, these things would bring no lasting return to us. They are not a wise investment when it comes to our life with God. It's good for us to be thankful for the families that we have, for our particular cultural background, and there's nothing wrong with being religiously committed. But none of these things are foundational. None of these things will bring a great return. So that's one image for us to use as we think about our life with God, what return we get for our investment. Christ Jesus is the one who brings us lasting joy. Now, St. Paul develops this a bit further as the text goes on. It's not just that St. Paul writes off things like ethnicity or family status or religious commitment as a loss. He says that when it comes to standing in God's courtroom, they're more than a loss. They are rubbish. Listen to what he says. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and I regard them as rubbish. It's actually a very strong word in the Greek. In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. Let's pause and think about this from a modern perspective. There's a writer that I'm familiar with, that you might be familiar with, called Marie Kondo, She's a Japanese writer and has written a book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, a book that's been translated into 30 languages, a book which I have not paid too much attention to if you've seen my study. Okay, this book has really gripped people because there's a very simple and powerful idea at the heart of it. She says, if you'd like to really spring clean, really like to declutter your life, pile up all the objects you have in your different rooms in the house. Hold on to each one and ask yourself the question, does it bring you joy? If it doesn't bring you joy, why are you holding on to it? Declutter your life. Let go. It's rubbish, really. Okay, you've got that picture, that idea. I think something like that is what St. Paul is talking about. He considers all these things rubbish compared with Christ. It's like he's in the room of his life, holding on to his ethnicity and asking, does this bring me real joy? Or holding on to his family connections, is this what brings me real joy in my life with God? Or holding on even to his religious commitment, is my commitment what brings me real joy? No, only Christ brings lasting joy. All other things in relation to Christ are rubbish. So he, on the one hand, writes them off as a loss. More than that, lets them go as rubbish. In Christ, St. Paul is saying, there is lasting and eternal joy with God. Behind this talk of loss and rubbish is a larger image of the courtroom of God. When St. Paul talks about righteousness from God, a great way to picture this is to be in God's courtroom and to be in the dock facing accusations that come rightly under the law. To be declared righteous is to be declared innocent by God. To have a good standing with your Heavenly Father, not to be condemned, but to walk free. Can you picture that sort of imagery? It's given to us by God so that we may think clearly about our relationship with God and our standing with God. It's a great thing for us to pause on here because we can so easily pass over it. God wants us to trust that in Christ Jesus we have the declaration of innocence. Your Heavenly Father wants you to know that in Christ Jesus you can walk free, that you have the approval of God. St. Paul is saying in this message is the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. A power that has practical consequences in this world, as we as individuals and as a community experience the power of Christ's resurrection in our life together. Listen to what St. Paul says. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. St. Paul knew that in trusting Christ, a new power had entered his life that freed him to live in a new way of life that indeed involved suffering, but not meaningless suffering. St. Paul faced opposition in his ministry. Opposition from within, as people tried to white-ant his ministry for their own personal gain, or because they rejected his theology and his proclamation of the gospel. He faced opposition from without. And in fact, Philippians is one of the captivity letters. St. Paul writing in chains from prison, at least having some restriction from a human point of view, the gospel being hemmed in. St. Paul coming to a dead end from a human point of view, but not from God's. So the power of the resurrection did indeed involve suffering for St. Paul, but a suffering out of which God was going to bring his message of hope, of life. St. Paul knew that he was on this path. Listen to what he writes as our text closes. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this imagery here comes from the world of athletics. Imagine that a race has been run. There is the victor. The crown, the laurel, what we'd call the gold medal, is waiting to be given. And the athlete, the victor, is called forward. St. Paul, as he writes, he's running the race. But in Christ, he is certain of the victory that he has. And the call which will be given to him, the call to be given the crown of glory and honor by God. St. Paul is encouraging us here to think about our lives in this way. We are indeed on a race, in a competition. We have not yet reached the goal to which God indeed has called us. But we do well to meditate on the fact that God is calling us to this goal, that God does will to crown our lives with his honor and glory in Christ Jesus. God's word gives us encouragement, even in the midst of difficulty and despondency, to run with hope and to know that our goal in Christ Jesus is certain. Let's think about this now in our own lives, because I'm sure as you listen to this message, you are in your different vocations at least facing some sorts of difficulties or temptations to despondency. In married life, we know there can be different temptations. We can think, where is this marriage going? What am I called to? What do I do now at this stage in my married life? Especially when, from a human point of view, there can be many things that are difficult. Or in family life and difficult relationships with people, sometimes we can feel like giving up, simply writing people off. We can feel this way about our congregation or about our wider church. Why are we even here? Where is God in all our conflict and difficulty? Where is our hope? We can feel like this also in our workplaces. What's actually happening? How can I be a boss in this situation? How can I work under a boss like this? These are natural questions. They're part of living as individuals and as a community. And if we try and find our hope in any human thing, there will not be lasting joy for us. St. Paul encourages us to find our lasting joy in Christ. All human strength, all human effort, in the end, is loss. In the end, is rubbish. Will not bring lasting joy. God is calling us into a place where there is glory and where there is honor. The crown of life, which will be given to us at the end of our lives. But as it is now, we are in the race. So, dear people of God, where is our hope? Our hope is in Christ Jesus, the one in whom we have the declaration of innocence before God our Father, the one in whom we can stand tall and walk as free people, the one who gives us wisdom to walk through the muddle of our vocations, to run indeed with hope, so that we may reach out and grab hold of the goal which God gives us freely in Christ Jesus, sharing in the honor and glory which is His. Well, may God bring us safely on this race. May God call us safely and victoriously to the podium of glory. And may God do this for us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.